and maybe hold your place there in John 16 and turn as well to 1 John, a few different portions of scripture that we're going to consider this morning. This morning, my slide, in light of this past week, our wonderful government that we love so much, don't let the storm shut you down. And if we get there eventually to our title slide, it even shows our wonderful capital where all those great men and women that we love and respect so much serve so faithfully. The snowstorm hit Chicago on a Saturday, and many of the people stranded at Chicago's O'Hare Airport didn't get out of there until Tuesday. May all of us be intimidated by the nightmare that would be hanging out in an airport for 2 or 3 days. That scene was not unique for O'Hare. Of course, many a traveler has their own war story of being stuck on the runway or in the airport because of thunderstorms or ice storms or snowstorms, most any kind of storm, really. The fact is, though, that O'Hare Airport is a hub for so many connecting flights to so many places. Because it's in the Midwest and near one of the Great Lakes, it can get hit with all kinds of weather. And subsequently, the airport, one of the busiest in the world, can oftentimes shut down. And people get stranded. Plans get ruined. It's in fact been said when O'Hare sneezes, the whole airline system gets pneumonia. It's true that when bad weather makes the hub shut down, nothing can get to where it needs to be. While the trouble storms can cause, right? Once school ends and you no longer get to experience the joy of snow days or storm days, storms are miserable. They mess everything up. And this morning, I want to share with you two things. I want to encourage you in one, and I want to challenge you in the other. And unless I miss my guess, wow, what a challenge it's going to be for all of us this morning. Storms. We've all been there, not just the kind that shuts down airports, but the kind that are inclined to shut down our lives. I wonder this morning, are you in a storm? I know for some of you, I know your story, and the truth of the matter for you would be that you've been in a storm for a good amount of time. In fact, some of us, we might not even remember the last day of good weather in our life. The storms. John chapter 16, Jesus says this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." In this world, you will have trouble. It's a given. And probably none of us need to be told that or reminded of it. Winston Churchill was not England's first choice, but he was their last hope. The fate of England and Western Europe hung on his shoulders. Negotiate with Hitler, even surrender to him, or fight against incredible odds to defeat him, to remain a sovereign nation, to bring freedom from his tyrannical rule to all of Europe. Churchill's leadership, his courage, his bravery will change the course of history. To some, he may stand in the history book still as a political figure not often well liked, or maybe in fact looked at and in some ways still to this day frowned upon. But there is no one to argue the point. It's his leadership, it's his courage, it's his bravery that will change history in both England and even in fact throughout all of Europe. And we could even in many ways say, even throughout the world. It's interesting to think of how events might have played out with Europe, with England, with the rest of the world, what it all might look like today, if not for this short, robust, cigar-smoking Churchill. He is quoted as saying, never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in except in convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Never give in. Never, 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 never. The devil is a liar. His deception is to make himself in his attack on you and against you to seem overwhelming. His deception is to intimidate you into surrender by his apparently overwhelming power and strength. His deception is to send you spiraling into despair and worry and anxiousness and fear as he surrounds you with his trouble and makes you to believe there is no way out, there is no way of escape, there is no pathway to victory, there is no hope. But he's a liar. In fact, forget his deception. This is the truth, dear brother and dear sister. 1 John chapter 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. This morning, I want to encourage you with that. In fact, would you read it with me? Would you say it with me? And can we do it this way? The next slide for me, Emma. I put it just in a personal context. Trust me, nothing's changed. It's okay. But will you read it with me? Will you say it with conviction? And even though some of us, Pastor, I am not an overcomer. Pastor, I'm in trouble. I'm in over my head. I'm sinking. I'm not swimming. But in faith then, would you declare it with me? Read it together. I am a dear child of God. Come on, say it with me. I have overcome. Shout it with me. I have overcome. Let the devil hear you this morning. I have overcome. Because, read it with me, the one who is in me is greater than the one who is in the world. One more time, would you say it? I have overcome. I know you're sick this morning. I know you're hurting this morning. I know it seems that the devil has got the best of you lately. But one more time, I have overcome. The devil is a liar. Don't buy into his deception. There is a pathway to victory for you. It's Jesus. There is hope for you. It's Jesus. There is a way out. It's the wonderful, wonderful name, the incredible, awesome, almighty power of Jesus. This is the truth. As the servant of Elisha saw it in 2 Kings chapter 6, when his eyes were finally opened to the devil's deception into God's truth. Greater, listen to me, dear brother and sister, greater are the angel armies of heaven with you. I know you can't see it. I know all you can see is the trouble around you. I know that all that you can see is the negative number that is the bottom line in your checkbook right now. I know that all you can see in the physical world is the doctor's report where the prognosis is not good. It's trouble for you. I know that that's all you can see. But this morning, may your eyes be open to the truth. Greater are the angel armies of heaven with you than the demonic hordes of the enemy. that surround you. Elisha prayed for his servant who was overcome with anxiousness and worry and fear as he saw the enemy surrounded. But Elisha prayed and his eyes were open and he saw, in fact, the truth. Greater God with him and in him than the enemies that surrounded him. Listen to me this morning. Stand firm. The devil is a thief. He works always and only to steal from you and destroy within you. The storms raged against you over the course of the year that is now concluded. And they will rage against you this year. In this world, you will have trouble. On Friday, I went in for a haircut and there was a new lady there. So one of the ladies, I go to the same place and she knows that I pastor the church here. The other ladies do. This was a new lady. And so it happened to come up. And so she was just telling me a little bit of her story. And I don't fully know the details. I only know it from her side. But as often the case, whenever a year ends, her testimony, many of us have been there. I'm glad last year is over. Thank goodness last year is over. Something happened. Her story went like this. I will never talk to my mother again. Isn't that sad? What brokenness in relationship, what trouble in relationship, evidently. And again, I don't know the details, right, wrong, whatever, but evidently mom had stepped in and taken this lady's daughter out of her home, something that mom saw that evidently she didn't like, her business, not her business. Again, I don't know the details. But this lady who's now cutting my hair, I'm so glad 2017 is over. I'll never talk to my daughter. I'll never talk to my mom again. I can't talk to my daughter. I haven't been able to talk to my daughter. And yet, the very bad news for this lady is that it really doesn't matter that 2017 is over because there's trouble that awaits her in 2018. Because that's the way life works. Now, maybe it won't be, hopefully it will not be as tragic as the story she told. I'll never talk to my mom. I can't talk to my daughter. My daughter's out of my life. Hopefully it will not be tragedy like that year after year. But the reality, the calendar might flip to a new page from December to January, but nothing changes about life. God's word still holds true. In this world, you will have trouble. The storms rage, they will continue to do so. But listen to me, dear brother, dear sister, stand firm. You are in the middle of the storm. Never give in. Never, 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 never. You've got to hear me this morning. God is greater. And you are an overcomer. I'm going to say it again because I know some of you, you're arguing with me in your mind. Don't argue with your pastor. You ought to know better than to do that. God is greater. Would you say amen if you believe it this morning? God is greater. And listen, say amen to it if you believe it. You are an overcomer. Amen. It's true. So be it. Amen. So be it. This morning, the encouragement. Don't let the storm knock you down or out. This morning, the challenge. Don't let the storm shut you down. When O'Hare gets shut down, neither people nor product gets delivered to where it needs to be. The storms of life that we go through, that we experience, they have a tendency to shut us down. And what we're supposed to deliver, what we're called to deliver, It doesn't get where it needs to be. And that's a problem. Listen to me this morning. You are a hub, a divine one. Through you, God sends His love, His grace, His mercy, His compassion, His encouragement, His goodness. And listen to me, dear brother and sister, if you are shut down because of a storm, none of that gets delivered to those around you that need it the most. So in John 13 and verse 34, this is what we read. Jesus speaking, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." One more time. "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." As Christians, we don't get to come up with our own definition of what love looks like. It has been settled for us in God's Word and by the example of Jesus. You do not get to say that you love people unless you love them like Jesus does. That's the example set for us by this command. "All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." The command is clear. We are to be known by our love for one another, and our love for one another is to be identified as a Christ-like love. How He loved is how we're to love. And we could spend weeks on how Jesus loved, couldn't we? This morning, just one aspect, and please know that I know that. Pastor, what about loving like Jesus loved in this? And what about like loving Jesus like Jesus did in that? And all of the different things we could talk about. Listen, it can't all be covered in a given Sunday and a given few minutes on that Sunday. So this morning, just one aspect. But how challenging, how convicting, how powerful even just the one is. We jump ahead to John chapter 19. Jesus has been arrested and is now crucified. He hangs upon the cross, death quickly approaching. We could consider it this way this morning in light of our message. Jesus is being battered by the most severe storm any human has ever faced. He is in agony. He has been abandoned. He is suffering unspeakable pain. He has been forsaken by His Father. In the storm, we tend to shut down. And what God desires to deliver through us doesn't get delivered. But that's not how Jesus did. That's not how Jesus loved. Look at verse 25 of John 19. Can you imagine it? Jesus' back literally flayed. The crown of thorns, the nails in His hands, His feet. Can you imagine the pain? Betrayed, abandoned. God the Father turning away. Not being able to look on the Son because of all the sins of the world. Can you imagine the weightiness of that? You know the weight and the guilt and the shame of your own sin. And you know how it breaks you down and how it so hurts and devastates you. Can you imagine? That's just your sin. And that's not even all of your sin. That was just the most recent mistake you made. As that weighs so heavy on your heart. Jesus bears in this moment the weight of all humanity's sin. Oh, a storm. It's the greatest storm that anyone has ever faced, will ever face. But look at Jesus. Near the cross stood His mother. And when Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing nearby, He said to His mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. This is not just Jesus exemplifying to us what a good son looks like and does. Actually, my two sons are here this morning. This is exactly what this is. Jesus exemplifying to us. Amen, their mother says. This is Jesus demonstrating to us what it looks like to not be shut down by the storm. This is Jesus in the storm of all storms, right smack dab in the middle of it. But look at him, still delivering God's love into people's lives. Battered like he is in this moment, our tendency, we're thinking only of ourselves. We're wondering what everyone else is going to do for us and to help us. But that's not how Jesus did. And that's not how Jesus loved. Battered by the storm, he's still thinking about his mother. He's still thinking about the sinner on the cross next to his. He's still thinking about forgiveness that those crucifying him need because they're doing what they don't even understand they're doing. He's calling for forgiveness for his executioners. Scripture is clear. The command is to love. The command is to love like Jesus did. And here this morning, we consider that simply in this context. We don't let the storm shut us down. So let me take you back. Are you in a storm? Let me encourage you. You don't have to let the storm knock you down. Let me challenge you this morning. Don't let the storm shut you down. Continue to deliver, battered even by all that hell and even the devil himself can throw at you. Listen to me this morning. You stand firm. God is greater. You are an overcomer. And you continue to deliver his love, all that God is and all that God has for those around us. You understand the challenge of that this morning? When we're hurting, when we're tired, when we're stressed, our tendency is to forget everyone. Our tendency is to shut down. Everybody, get out of my way. I don't feel good. I don't feel like helping. I'm too busy trying to survive my own storm. I'm too tired fighting my own battle. This last week, I committed, and for a couple weeks still to come, I committed to a subbing assignment, and I find this tendency in my own life created just by busyness. Full confession this morning, I am not if I am a good pastor, it's only because I'm pretending. I am not a good pastor when I get busy. I'm sitting in the office, and I don't want to make phone calls. Listen, you know I love to preach. Oh, I wish I had a guest speaker this Sunday so I could take. It's been so busy. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do the ministry stuff. I don't want to. What an effect, because from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock at the school, in a sense, just these next few weeks and something kind of what's become secondary. I'm just too busy. I don't want to take the time for it. I don't want to do it. I'm easily frustrated by it all. And I find as I'm preparing for this message, wow, how I have a tendency to let myself get shut down when the stress and the stuff begins to pile up in my life. Our tendency is to think only of ourselves. We're the ones hurting after all, right? Everyone, when I'm hurting, everyone's supposed to be rallying to help me. I'm not obligated. I'm the one hurting. I'm not obligated to be helping other people. Not now. Not in this moment. I'm the one hurting. This is when everybody's supposed to be rallying around me, not me still helping others, right? Wrong. Absolutely wrong. At least wrong. If we're going to love like Jesus, Do you see the overwhelming challenge this morning to do that? Listen, no storm, no self-centered, self-pitying response to the storm ever shut Jesus down. You have never entered boldly into His throne room to hear Him tell you He's too busy. He doesn't have the time. He's dealing with His own stuff right now. You're going to have to wait for a bit. And unfortunately, dear brother and dear sister, the mandate of Scripture upon me and upon you is to love just like He loves us. And to do and to respond just like He does. Life got tougher for Him than it ever will be for any of us all put together. But Jesus never went in to a never mind everyone else, it's all about me mode. Never. All that God had and all that God desired to give and all that God desired to reveal of Himself, no storm ever shut Jesus down. He never stopped delivering that to people around Him. That's a supernatural way to live, to love. That's doing life, that's loving like Jesus did, and that's the challenge for us this morning. A storm doesn't have to knock you down. And listen to me, dear brother, sister, nor should it ever shut you down. So just a few thoughts this morning. Despite the storm, are you there? Are you in it? Despite the storm, keep delivering His love. 1 John, let me read them to you quickly. Verse 3, this is the message you heard from the beginning. Love one another. Verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions, sees his brother in need, has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Verse 21, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, that we obey so that we get all that we ask when we ask it of Him, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. 1 John 4, dear friends, let us love one another. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Verse 11, dear friends, God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Verse 19, we love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And He has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. O. Henry tells the story of Jim and Della in his short story, The Gift of the Magi. As Christmas approaches, Jim and Della don't have much money for bills, much less gifts. Jim has a gold pocket watch that was once his dad's. Della has long, beautiful hair, and they both have an idea. Della cuts her hair and sells it so she can buy Jim a chain for his watch. But Jim sells his watch in order to purchase some nice combs for his wife's lovely hair. In the storm, both give up their most prized possession for each other. Can I ask you this morning? In the storm, dealing with the storm, my follow-up question, what sacrifices have you made to show God just how much you love Him? But Pastor, I'm in the storm. Now's the time when God does for me. I'm exempt from doing for Him. Wrong, 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 wrong. We don't love like that. We love like Jesus did. So I ask you again, are you in the storm? My follow-up, what opportunity might you have to show God just how much you love him. From 1 John and our readings from those different passages, can I encourage you? Can I remind you this morning those opportunities might come the best and the most in the opportunity that you have to love one another and to love others that are in your circle of influence that you come across throughout this week in your life. Despite the storm that rages in and around you, keep proclaiming restoration. One author tells the story of a beautiful antique table, as he describes it, that graces the entryway of their home. Not when he first found it, though. Bought in a farm auction. Probably for decades, the table had been relegated to the barn. Chickens roosted on it. Greasy tools had sat on it. It was filthy and flimsy, and no one bid on it. So he did, and bought it for just a couple of dollars, and then took it to be restored. The old chicken roost, tool holder, barn table became a thing of beauty, a centerpiece to their home, a most cherished possession, and quite the conversation piece he adds. He finishes, God does like that. God is in the restoration business, isn't he? And he uses people like you and me to help people find a new beginning. He uses us to deliver the message of restoration to those who need it the most. The author writes, every time I walk past that antique table, I'm reminded that God specializes in the restoration business. All of us know people who, like that old table, used to be battered, bruised, have been stuck in the back corner of life, lost their beauty, who are not being used anymore for any real purpose. This, the challenge of Scripture to us, take the sinner and the broken people we know by the hand and bring them to the one who can make old things pass away and all things become new. Don't let the storm in your life keep you from proclaiming the restoration that God can do and desires to do in the lives of those around you. In the storm, keep delivering his love. Keep proclaiming his restoration. And keep speaking encouragement to one another. The sun was high overhead, glinting off the helmets and breastplate of 6 Roman legions. The soldiers stood and watched as the invading Helvetia tribe migrating to the Roman territory from Switzerland formed battle lines on a hill above them. As the ranks of the Helveti began to swell and outnumber the Roman army, the men started to grow increasingly tense. For many of them, this would be their first battle. For others, this was their first sight of the enormous tribesmen who, man to man, stood taller and broader than the men of Rome. Sensing the mounting apprehension, Commander Julius Caesar rode to the front line and dismounted. He turned to address the men, choosing his words carefully. Much could have been said at that moment. Caesar could have reminded them of the battle plan. He could have criticized them for their lack of courage in the face of opposition. He could have mocked the enemy who challenged the great Roman Empire. Caesar strode up and down the front line, looking into the eyes of his men, and then elevated his voice so even those in the rear guard could hear him. And he began to encourage the men. He praised them for their bravery, boasted of their ability as soldiers. Then Caesar sounded the call to battle, and with the praise of their leader ringing in their ears, the Roman army charged up the hill to meet the enemy head on. According to historian Stephen Collins, the Roman army fought ferociously and drove back the invading tribe, winning the day. The glory of ancient Rome has faded. However, what spurred Caesar's legions more than 2,000 years ago is still one of the most effective tools we have today. Encouragement. Keep speaking encouragement. Encouragement wins the day every day. It's one of the most important elements of leadership, parenting, marriage, and even personal quality of life. Listen to this. According to the Harvard Business Review, teams with an encouraging environment significantly outperform other teams who are negative. In fact, this study found that the factor which made the most difference between the teams who achieved the greatest success and least success was the ratio of positive to negative comments. It doesn't mean there's no room for constructive criticism. There is, but when the mood of the team is continuously negative, the performance of the team suffers. Continues. Likewise, research cited in Psychology Today states that one of the most significant factors in predicting divorce is how couples talk to one another. Husbands and wives, you better plug your ears right about now. When the positive to negative comments of a couple falls below 5-1, that is a good indication that the health of the marriage is suffering. However, when a couple is encouraging to one another, let me just speak the truth to you, husbands. When you encourage your wives, let me just shoot straight with your wives. When you stop complaining about your husband and start encouraging him, the likelihood of having a long, healthy, and enjoyable marriage skyrockets. What psychology and modern research tells us has been taught by Scripture for thousands of years. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk, the New Living Translation says, will reap the consequences. Despite the storm, anything you're going through, anything you're dealing with, you have the opportunity to be life-giving in every conversation. Life hard for you? Listen, you have the opportunity still to ever be building one another up. Listen to me, dear brother. Listen to me, sister. No storm need ever silence the words of life that God would desire to deliver through you. Proverbs 25:11, the right word at the right time is like precious gold set in silver. Despite the storm, keep giving generously. We're to live giving lives rather than getting lives. That's true. This also is true. There's nothing like a storm raging in us or around us to compromise that truth inside us. But despite the storm, we continue to give of ourselves to God and to others. We do it in faith. We don't feel like it. We don't want to. We're in a storm after all. We feel even, in fact, that we have nothing to give. But nevertheless, in faith, supernaturally, miraculously, with the divine help of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that lived in Christ and raised Him from the dead, that dwells in us, with the help of the Spirit, we do give of ourselves. Despite the storm, we continue to be blessed so that we might in turn bless others. Interesting to note, we know the story. Jesus is in the process of feeding 5,000 men along with women and children. We sometimes miss it. Do you remember? He blessed the bread. We like that. In the storm, we're heavy on the blessing. God bless me. Bless me, Lord. It's our prayer all the time. God, would you bless me? But we miss. He blessed it, you know it, but then He broke it. And when it was broken, He could now deliver it and feed the hungry. 5,000 with women, maybe 10,000 with kids, commentators even guess up to 20,000. Listen, you bring your nothing. I've got nothing to give, God. You let Him bless it, and you let Him break it, and through you, He will deliver to multitudes. Still, His grace, His love, His mercy, His compassion, His kindness, His goodness, He will deliver to the multitudes exactly what the multitudes are longing and needing from him. Bombarded by the storm, we get stuck in the blessing and we forget. Even when broken, God can deliver and God can give through us. How about it? Is that you? Pastor, I'm beyond in the storm. I've been broken by it. I hear you, Pastor. Don't have to get knocked down by the storm, but the truth of the matter is, I have been. So all the rest doesn't fit me. I'm broken. I can't give. I can't encourage. I can't serve. I can't help. I can't proclaim restoration. I can't love. And I say to you, oh, but you're wrong. That in fact, it might very well be that because you're broken, God is just now ready to begin to deliver through you those that need to experience Him and to know Him. You've been commissioned to a life of giving. Listen to me, Christian. You have been commissioned to a life of giving. Never let the storm compromise that in you. Never let the brokenness inside of you compromise that in you. Battered, broken, you keep giving generously. That's life and that's love like Jesus. This morning, one more time, I want to encourage you. The devil is a liar. God is greater. You are an overcomer. And don't miss it this morning. You heard me. Not you will be an overcomer. You are an overcomer. John says you have overcome because God is greater. I know you might be struggling, but nevertheless, the truth of Scripture holds true. You have overcome because God is greater. Until God stops being greater than the devil, listen, you have overcome and you are an overcomer. Don't let the storm knock you down. Never give in. Never, 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 never. But probably this morning, the message, even more so the challenge to you, despite the storm, keep delivering love. Keep proclaiming restoration, speaking encouragement, giving generously. You are a divine hub for delivering God's resources into people's lives. Don't let the storm shut you down. Father, I pray this morning first for everyone in this room in the middle of a storm. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around, not even me. If that's you, Pastor, I'm in a storm. Actually, not Pastor, Jesus, it's me. I'm not even looking. I'm going to pray for you, but I'm not even looking. Would you just lift your hand? No one's looking. This is just you and the Lord. I am in a storm, Jesus. Would you lift your hand? As it were, would you lift it so He can see it? Jesus, you see these hands that are lifted in this room. Now listen to me. My eyes are closed. I don't know who you are, but I speak the word of the Lord into your life. Listen to me. Brother, sister, I'm going to speak it to you as the Lord would this morning as He lays it on my heart. I believe it's a real word from Him. Dear child, stand firm. I'm greater. You're an overcomer. Listen, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't shrug your shoulders at the word of the Lord this morning. Dear child, stand firm. I'm greater. You're an overcomer. You put your hands down. Father, I pray for every hand that was lifted in this room. We don't take lightly the storms of life. They mess everything up. And I pray for my brother or sister that's in the middle of one. Be with them, help them, encourage them, strengthen them, comfort them in Jesus' name. And Father, this morning, I pray for every one of us. Unless I miss my guess, all of us right now have need to repent of all the storms of life that shut us down. We became self-centered. We stopped loving. We stopped serving. We stopped encouraging. We stopped giving. We stopped proclaiming restoration. Everything about the storm shut everything down inside of us. And we went into survival mode. It's all about me. It's all about what I'm going through. It's all about what I'm needing. We forgot to love like Jesus loves. So Father, first we say, forgive us for that. We are sorry. We missed it. The storm messes us up, gets us to not thinking right. And so we ask you to forgive us this morning. And then we ask you to help us. That despite the storm, we would not be shut down, but we would continue to be a hub of your resources delivered into the lives of those around us. In this year, we're going to have trouble. But in the trouble, we will not be knocked down, nor will we be shut down. We will stand firm because God, you're greater and we're overcomers. And we will continue to love, to serve, to let you work through us into the lives of those around us that need it the most. We declare it this morning. We speak it in faith, confidence of the help that you'll give us to do it. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Overcomers, go and be a hub of God's resources as you encounter lives in your circle of influence and relationship. Love you, Lord. Bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday and great week ahead as well. God bless you this morning.